Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. You're looking all right. It's great. It's lovely. It's always lovely to come back and to spend some time with you. Really appreciate it. So I've been listening from your website as to the things that you've been looking at together. I love the sort of discussions that you've been having. It's quite interesting when you listen online because you can't hear half of what's going on, but it must all be pretty good, I think. But it's great, and to hear how Andrew is working alongside you and serving you well, so great. And I've been meeting with him off and on over the past few weeks. I think we're meeting again later this week, so I keep up to date with what's happening here. I'm not moderating you anymore, but still very much interested in what God's doing here with you. So that's great. And I understand that you're going through this series on vision and values and some of the things that you've been looking at. I think I was involved at one stage earlier on looking at who we are, one of the aspects of that. And I think we've moved on now to what we do. And there's a bit of an overlap, actually, between those two things, between who we are and what we do. Actually, who we are is very important in terms of what we do as a church. And that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I'm going to sort of center what I'm going to say in 2 Peter and chapter 1, and I'm calling it What We Do by What We Are. Great. That's a picture of somebody being. I thought, shall I put a man or shall I put a lady? And I thought, couldn't find one, so it's a boy. And I want to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 onwards. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm very conscious, actually, as I was preparing this the last few weeks, that this could be a bit sort of deja vu for us. Because I'm going to touch on something that I know we touched on last year as we were going through that series on the fruit of the Spirit. And in fact, we have another list here in this passage that I've just read. But when we're looking at... So I thought, oh dear, these people will think I only have one sermon, and I just sort of revamp it every now and then. And well, that might be true, I don't know. You know, as you get older, you can't remember what you said the last time. But I'm always encouraged by verse 12 of this same chapter, where the Apostle Peter says, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So I think, well, if it's good enough for him, it's okay for me to always remind you of things that you already know. So please don't nod off because you think you've heard it all before. The reason that God says things to us over and over again is because we are so slow to learn, aren't we? And we need reminding of things. I know I do, certainly. So the reason that we're looking at this passage is part of this series of how the church can be used to attract people to Jesus. Now, I know that you've got plans to sort of do something about the buildings, you know, going to sort of, what's the word? Thank you. I thought of a worse word I was going to say. But yeah, sort of, I don't mean in a derogatory way, but the phrase I was going to use was not the right word. I was going to say tart it up a bit. But yeah, but I know you're going to do that because you want the place to be attractive in some ways to people that will come in here. But you know, don't you, that the building's not going to do it. You know, what's going to do it is the church. And you know, I know you know, that the church is not the building. We tend to talk about the church, we're going to the church. But you know and I know that it's us. We are the church. We are the church. And God needs to do something in us if we're going to attract people to him and to respond positively to the gospel. I'm so thrilled to see that you're planning to have the Alpha course here. And great. We had an Alpha course last year at our church, and we hadn't done one for a few years. And we'd done lots and lots of them a number of years ago. And, you know, we'd run out of people to invite. You know, we'd invited. So it got that we thought, maybe we won't. And we didn't do it for a couple of years. But the beginning of last year, we thought, well, we're going to do an Alpha course this year. And come on, church, you know, start thinking of people to invite. And even if you've invited them before, invite them again. You never know, do you? So let's keep on. And, you know, we had two really good Alpha courses. One was youngsters. We did a youth alpha, and seven youngsters came to Christ through that. Four of them being baptized already. And then we had a proper like grown-ups alpha course, and we did that. And we had, I think it was something like 25 people come. So we were just thrilled to bits, you know. And I think three people came to the Lord during that time. So I just want to encourage you in that, you know, invite people, you know, that's all you can do, isn't it? You can invite people. If they say no, okay. But the thing we can do is we can invite people, and it's up to them how they respond. But wouldn't it be great to see folks here coming to know Jesus through your Alpha course? So well done. Keep it up. I'm going back into moderator mode now. I want to focus really on verse 8 of this chapter to start off with. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I think we've got that.
Yeah, it should be.
It's
not transitioning, sorry, but
it's not
showing
your... Oh, crumbs, you'll have to use your Bibles. Okay, So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me say it again. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what took my attention were three words there. The first one is ineffective. The second one is unproductive. So what it's saying is, if you possess these qualities, remember the list that I just read to you, in the verses that precede this verse. If you have those qualities, they will prevent you from being ineffective and unproductive. So, Therefore, it's the intention of God that we be effective and productive. In other words, it is extremely possible for us as a church and as individual Christians to be effective and productive in terms of impacting people's lives and bringing them to know Jesus. So I just want to say that to you again as a church. You know, whatever the pastor's involved, whatever's happened before, it is within God's intentions for us to be fruitful, to be productive, to be effective in touching people's lives here in this community and beyond. So that sort of worked away in my head. Effective means, I looked up in a dictionary, adequate to accomplish a purpose, producing the intended effect, making an impact. So it is God's intention for you as a church, for me as part of another church, but us as the church, it's God's intention that we are effective, we make an impact upon the people that live around us. And to be productive, to be fruitful, to bring about a tangible change. And as we were praying earlier on, I think one of the things that came out in our praying was, you know, the world in which we live is so desperately in need of something to change it, to make an impact, to have an effect upon the world in which we live, which is hopeless. So, going by the words used here in 2 Peter chapter 1, we conclude that the process that we've embarked upon as we've become followers of Jesus is also a key to bringing others to know Jesus for ourselves. So this process that we've embarked upon, which we call discipleship, it's God's intention that as we become more and more like Jesus, that makes an impact upon the world in which we live and the people that live around us. So even if you've given up on yourself in terms of, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be any better than I am today. You know, I've been going at this for 50 years. I'm wanting to be different. I'm wanting to be more like Jesus. There are things in my life that I'm trying to conquer and to work my way through, and I seem to make some progress, and then I fail again and mess it up. And, you know, and there is a possibility, isn't there, after a while you think, you know, I'm just going to stay as I am. I'm not going to bother to change. I don't think I can change anymore. I don't think I can do it. Can I just say to you, if not for your own sake, for the sake of the people out there that don't know Jesus yet, keep working at it. Keep asking God to help you to change more and more into the likeness of Jesus. You're okay. You're saved. You've got your place secured for eternity. But what about them? And it needs us. We need to be being changed, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of those who are watching us and listening to us and touched by our lives. And notice that in that verse, as well as the words ineffective and productive, there's another word there which I underlined, which is, it says, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not about, but of. I think there's an important difference there. Because knowledge about him, I guess some of us who've been Christians for a while, we know quite a bit about Jesus. You know, we've read the books, we've read the Bible, we've read other books, we've listened to countless sermons. We know so much about Jesus. But that's not what this is saying. This is talking about our knowledge of him. In other words, our personal relationship with him. You know, you can know a lot about someone. I know quite a bit about Donald Trump. You know, because I keep hearing stuff all the time. I know quite a lot about him. Most of it I don't like, but I know a lot about him, but I don't know him. You know, I know a lot about Henry VIII, but I don't know him. I can't say I know in that way. So what we're talking about here is it's possible to know about Jesus as an historic figure and as a focus of our Bible studies and so on, but to know him is different, isn't it? To actually know him as a person. And it's that knowing him that will make us effective and productive. So, have we got it yet? Oh, well done. The next thing that I wanted to say comes under the heading of how to become what we are called to become. I thought I'd go for pithy. Pithy is short headings. You try and remember them over lunch. What were his headings? That would be a laugh. So how to become what we need to become. So having set this verse then as our objective to be effective and productive in our knowledge of Jesus, we can go back to those earlier verses that I read from verse 3 onwards and consider how that objective of becoming more like Jesus and being effective and productive, having an impact upon the people around us, how that can be achieved. But before we get to that list again of, you know, goodness and knowledge and all that stuff, before we get to the list, Peter writes this in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And I want to emphasize something here. We're talking about a personal relationship before anything else. So we're not just talking about a list of things, like when we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. You know, going down this list of things, it's like a checklist. Have I got that? Have I got that? I think I'm doing all well with that one. Not so good on that one. Ooh, never even realised I was meant to have that. And go down the list. And we've got another list here, but I want to emphasise something, that this comes out of something extremely personal. A personal relationship before anything else. When we're reading his letters, we need to keep in mind just how and where Peter's understanding and knowledge of the Lord Jesus came from. He is coming to all of this from a personal relationship with a person. So when you read the Gospels and you read about Peter and you read about the things that he did, the things that he said, the things that he messed up, all of that stuff, think about his restoration to his relationship with Jesus on the beach after the resurrection. Then you think about him on the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came on him and he preached to thousands of people there in Jerusalem. And then he goes on where it talks about him in lots of different ways, being arrested because he's a witness for Jesus. And then you see him, the whole challenge of can we take the gospel to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And all of that, we need to remember all of that when we're reading his letters. Because his letters come out of all of that. Comes out of his personal experience of knowing Jesus and walking with him and seeing stuff and messing up and all of this. It's coming out of that. He hasn't suddenly become a different person. It's still Peter, still the same person. He's talking out of that personal relationship with Jesus. So, when he talks about his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. When he's talking about these qualities, these concepts of what God is like, actually, for Peter, they're not just concepts. They're part of his experience. So he says, when he talks about his glory and goodness, Peter's thinking of Jesus. He's talking about this person. I saw his glory and I experienced his goodness. So when he's talking about he called us out of his glory and goodness, he's talking about his experience of a real person. So for example, we could look at Mark chapter 1 and verses 16 to 18. Have we got those? Oh, thank you. Here they come. Just as an example, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, who became Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, line that up against him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Peter's thinking of the day that he was called. By the glory, the goodness of Jesus, he was called to become a fisher of men, a follower of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 9 and verses 2 to 4, another experience that he had. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him, led them up a high mountain where they were all alone, and there he was transfigured before them. So on that occasion, he saw the glory of Jesus. So what Peter's talking about here, when he talks about us becoming effective and productive out of our knowledge of Jesus, he's sort of saying, that's how it is for me. I was called out of his goodness and his glory. And you can be too. In your knowledge of him, this can change you. And the same thing applies to Peter's understanding of verse 3, his divine power that's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Peter experienced divine power. He saw it at work in Jesus, of course, and then in working alongside Jesus in Jesus' mission. And then he experienced it on the day of Pentecost when he and the others encountered the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who came to replace Jesus, in a way. So Peter's then he experienced the same power as he and the other disciples began to build, shape the church, the community of God's people, and the developments that we read there in the book of Acts. So again, I just want to stress this, that when Peter's talking about these changes that need to take place in us, he's saying, it was my experience of Jesus and my experience of the Holy Spirit that called me to be part of this. I have experienced his glory and his goodness. I have experienced his divine power in the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, that's how it has to be for us. That's how it has to be for us. It's not about you going down the checklist and saying, have I got this, have I got that, or whatever, how am I doing with this and that. What I would say to you is just keep going back to your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your conversation with him day by day, your openness to the Holy Spirit coming and filling you and changing you. Just be open to him and your walk with him. And that's how we become godly or Christ-like. It's by spending time with him, is developing our relationship with him. As it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, being conformed to the likeness of God's Son. We want people to see Jesus. And the way that they will see him is in us. And the way that we become more like him is we spend more time with him. We get to know him better. See, you've heard this before, haven't you? So my last heading is doing what we're called to be by being what we're called to be. Oh no, doing what we're called to do by being what we're called to be. See, it's memorable, isn't it? Just trips off the tongue, yeah. So then back to same chapter, verses 4 to 8. Through these, that's through his divine power and through his glory and goodness, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Have you noticed that? You may participate in the divine nature. Become more like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. 4. Okay, that's it. Here's where we experience this bit of deja vu that I referred to at the very beginning. Because we're looking at another list of qualities, characteristics, virtues that need to be part of who we are. Primarily as individuals, and then consequently as a group of Christians. The point I want to make is just how these virtues can be produced in us. And it's basically in the same way that they were produced in Peter and those other Christians that we read about in the New Testament. By direct contact and relationship with the Lord Jesus and with the person of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3 and verse 10, he just says, you know, even though I am who I am and what I've been doing, I want to know him. I want to know him. You know, I think the cry of my heart, I don't know, for the past 50 years, and it hasn't changed really at all, is I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. Not just about you, I want to know you. And that knowledge of God, not just about him, progresses and develops these things, these qualities that we've read about there. These things are produced in us. I just wanted to put this next picture up. Thank you. Because when we come to this list and it says, to your faith, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. The danger is that we can begin to think of that a bit like building blocks. Okay, well, I've got faith. Now, right, got that. Now I need to work on goodness. Okay, so I've got faith, now I've got to add to that goodness. And then when I'm good, then I've got to add on to that knowledge. Right, now I've got those three, now I'm going to add self-control. You know, I mean, you wouldn't get past the first layer, would you? Because you'd be saying, oh, hold a minute, I don't think I've got that one right. I'll go back to the... And that's the danger of thinking about that. That's the wrong idea. We've got a cross. There you go. This is what it's talking about. This is making a cake. Okay? It's mixing. It's saying, if you can add to your faith, so here's my faith, add to your faith, goodness. What bit of that? Add to your goodness, self-control. You're just beginning to mix something in. What he's saying is, you need all this stuff. We're not going through some sort of graduation process. We're going through all that needs to be added into our lives to make us the people, you know, this glorious cake that God wants to make of us. And I think that's so important because, now you'll be really pleased to know that I'm not going to go through each of those things on that list, item by item. But you could do well to use them as a sort of progress checklist. How am I doing? You know, how am I, what do I need? You know, the goodness thing, for example, for me, Now, I've been meditating on this passage for about the last 3 months. And when I came to goodness, there were times when I thought, I'm just not a good person. You know, there were things that happen, and the stuff that goes through you wouldn't like what goes through my head. You know, like when someone says something that offends me or whatever, you know? So I'm a semi-retired pastor now. So in the semi-retired bit, I'm allowed to feel those things now. But, you know, there are times when... And then I think, oh, I'm such a bad person. You know, why am I thinking like that, you know? So you could go through the list, couldn't you? A checklist for yourself. I need to work on that. And I did. I tried to be really good. I tried to be a really good, you know, like my reactions to be really good. I'm still working on it, okay? But, you know, to add to goodness, what were the other things? You know, knowledge. Yeah, I need to know more about him. I need to know more about life. I need to be more observant. I need self-control. Boy, do I need self-control. And all those things, they're like a progress checklist that I need for myself. They are also, it's a very good checklist in terms of discipleship. If you're accountable to somebody, you know, a friend who's come alongside you that you're accountable to, and you're saying, look, can you help me? How am I doing with this? How do you think I'm doing with that? Can you give me some advice as to how I might improve that in the mix of my life? And so on. And it could also, of course, form a part of your prayer life. Lord, I'm not doing good with this one. Self-control. Do you know, I'm so glad that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Because that sort of means I can help you to help me to control myself, you know? So, and Lord, I'm not, you know, please help me with this. Please help me with these things. Brotherly kindness. You know, what the way I spoke to that person, the way I handled that, that wasn't good. Lord, help me to improve on this brotherly kindness. And so on. Good sort of prayer life checklist too. So the point, I finished, is that we reflect more accurately on the character of Jesus and become more effective and productive in reaching others with the good news of God's kingdom, made accessible through the Lord Jesus' life and death and resurrection. See, I haven't told you anything new. I haven't told you anything new. I know that. Please don't write me off as this preacher that always comes and says the same thing over and over again. But we want to be effective, don't we, and productive. You know, it says, Jesus said in John 15, he says that I've chosen you that you should bear fruit. We want to bear fruit, don't we? We want that fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives, but we also want to bear fruit in other people's lives that come to know him because of who we are as a bunch of his people. And as people come in, like the ladies are coming in tomorrow, that they see something. And they probably can't even describe or define what it is that they see and experience tomorrow evening. But there's something about you people. Something about you people. Wouldn't it be great if they went away with that? There's that bit, isn't it, in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says that people will come amongst you and say, surely God is in this place. You know, isn't that what you want? And when you're out there, that people say, there's something about you. Something about, or they might not say it to you, they might say it to somebody else. There's something about him. There's something about these people that draws them to want to know Jesus. So let's pray together before we break bread and remember Jesus in the way that he's asked us to. Lord, we want to say thank you that it's possible for us to know you. not just know about you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit you've come into our lives. What a wonderful thing, Lord, that you have come to us. I want to say thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way that you work in us. And thank you for the way you challenge us and you bring to our attention, Lord, the things that need to change and improve in our lives. And we want to say to you this morning, Lord, it's our desire as individual believers and also as a church together, it's our desire, Lord, to be effective and productive. Lord, we want to see other people coming to worship you and love you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless us and help us. Help us with this mix, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our relationship with you, Lord, to see these different characteristics added and added into our lives. And so we ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.